with the third pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blake Bortles, quarterback, Central Florida.
So a guy that's extremely talented, wanted to be here, and, you know, possesses all the physical traits we're looking for.
You know, he's everything we preach. He's a guy that's a highly competitive guy.
This guy loves Jacksonville, and he's excited about this. I'm pumped up to see all you guys here, man. That's great job. That's great job.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
That's great job.
That's triple great job right there is what that is. Not just double, but triple great job. What are we going to do about Sergio now?
I think we should do it one last time, kind of as a going away
like
thing.
Like today's
for
the big send-off,
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sergio. He was an inspiring Jaguar, part of Jaguar Nation and Jaguar lore over the years. He had a great personality. I like Sergio. He's a good guy. Didn't make an impact on the football field for you in a positive way. So, look, Tony, they settled on Sergio Brown when they couldn't get Devin McCourty away from the New England Patriots last year, you know, and Dave Caldwell told us as much that, you know, that probably guys like Scuda and Brown became available under their budgetary plans when they missed out on a couple of high-priced guys who elected to stay with their teams last year. So he was never thought to be the long-term answer. He was more of a stopgap. And they drafted James Sample last year to compete at one of those safety spots, right? And he couldn't stay healthy last season. You signed Tashawn Gibson, who's clearly locked in as your starting free safety going forward. Somebody asked on Twitter in the intervening hours since Sergio was released, is this going to open up the floodgates of people saying, Ramsey, Ramsey, Ramsey? Well, this and the person even acknowledged that they agreed that this has no impact on whether they draft Jalen Ramsey or not. They don't even know if Jalen Ramsey would be available at number five at this point in time. I think Jalen Ramsey's high on their board, whether they had cut Sergio Brown yesterday or kept him on the roster for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're talking about the fourth safety on the team, basically. The backup free safety, if you think that they're doing that because they want to make space for a number five pick, doesn't make much sense in that regard. But I understand that there are a lot of people listening to us right now that have been on the Jalen Ramsey train basically since the season ended, and any piece of little evidence that points towards the possibility of Jalen Ramsey being in the Jaguars' sights, they're going to grab onto. This isn't that.
By the way,
this is the team just working the roster.
Tony, that train's a good train to be on. I have no problem with that train. I sensed last year when the Jags drafted Dante Fowler, there were some of in the Leonard Williams camp. I said, it's not that you're passing up the best player in the draft. And, you know, whether they believe that or they're just believing what had been fed to them over the intervening months or leading into the draft, whatever the case, there were the Amari Cooper people last year. They're making the big mistake here. You got a chance to get a Pro Bowl-level player at his position, and you're settling for this guy who we don't even know if he's going to be an elite pass rusher at the next level. This year I get the sense that, now, with the Jack knee situation, maybe if they select Jack over Ramsey, there would be some disgruntled fans out there. But I think if you end up with one of Ramsey or Jack or Bosa, that most people are going to understand those are the guys that have been talked about. There are good arguments to be made for all of them. The question is, do you have an option to draft multiple of those players? Are multiple of those players available for you at the fifth pick? And then, if so, who do you prioritize? I would think, though, based on yesterday's polling, if they were to draft Bosa over either one of those guys, even yesterday, we knew Miles Jack has these concerns about the knee. Now, the report came out yesterday late in the program that said, how was it phrased, Tyler?
The knee was a time bomb.
Time bomb, right? So maybe that shades people's opinions one
way
or another.
Bone and cartilage chipping away.
Right, tearing away from each other, like the cartilage is tearing off the bone. I don't know. You know, none of us know. But I do get the sense if they drafted Bosa with one of those players available, there'd be some grumbling. If it's a Ramsey or a Jack decision, I think you can make great arguments for both of them. We have done it for months. So have you out there. Today we're going to ask you to go a little bit beyond that. We're getting down to crunch time now, folks.
Sure.
A week from today, Tony, we get the media mock draft. We're handling the first 16 selections. And hopefully it's the last time in a long time if we do it in this format. that we are talking about the Jaguars pick.
That would be nice.
Are we bringing Hicken and Martineau back as the,
absolutely,
the,
yeah,
the brain trust?
Yeah, they'd love to be back, I'm sure.
Who did they...
I haven't reached out to them, AKA.
Okay. We could have done that live. We could have put Hicken on the spot. Who did they select last year? Was it Fowler? Was it Cooper? Who do they go with? Was it Leonard Williams? Do you remember? Do you have the results of
I don't have
year?
It. I think it's in my locker
remember.
Back there.
It's in your
I
locker?
I think it was Fowler.
Was it Fowler?
I think it was Fowler they went with.
All right. Kudos to them if they pulled it out. If so, we'll give them another shot at it this year if they're willing to come on and do it for us. Tony, turn around, please. Right now. Oh, what the hell's going on?
What's going on?
That's Marcel. I recognize Marcel. There's some hazmat stuff going on out here.
Zombies?
Is that what it is? Is there some kind of zombie tie-in that CW17
has? Did Hacker go in the bathroom? Are they cleaning up back there? Is that what's going on?
Oh, you know what? That could be. That really looked like
all
hazmat
soup. All that
sriracha
soup, man. That'll stink up the bathroom.
That really will. It's a soup or it's a salad. It is what it is. It's a salop. I don't want them coming in here right now. I don't know what they're up to. And basically, two people just walked in the front door and in kind of hazmat get-ups. Did we invite them in the studio?
No, I'm pretty sure coming we in anyway.
Right, get them out of here, all right? So I don't know what's going on.
When you're dressed like you're trying to capture E.T., you get to go
in. Yeah, when
you're
dressed like you're worried about infectious diseases in the building, I may not want you in here. How about that? if you want to get in today, here's what we're talking about, going beyond the first-round pick. But you can include the first-round pick in this. We did this once before around 3 months ago. But you got a much better idea, I think, right now of what is going to be available to the Jags, what positions they're targeting. Free agency is coming and gone. And so today we're asking you the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Give us three players that you would like to see the Jags end up with realistically after next week's draft. In other words, don't say Ramsey, Jack, and Bosa. Let's trade all our picks to get those three. You're not getting those three. Be realistic about it. If you want to put one of them with the fifth pick, that's fine. You want to put somebody else with the fifth pick, that's fine. And then go beyond. It doesn't have to be your first three selections. It's just three players that at some point in the draft you would be happy to see the Jaguars bring on board. You can jump on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and, of course, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You can use the phone lines at 641-1010, and that's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Mel Kiper's got a new three-round mockout. We'll talk to everyone's favorite National Football League national reporter, Jason Lockenfora, today. They love him here in Jacksonville, and he's going to join us in about an hour and 10 minutes.
You know, last time we had him on, or at least had him scheduled to come on, he got bumped off for the GM, Dave Caldwell.
That's right. And Dave would have to drive over here today to make that happen, but we'll hold a spot for him. Put it this way. And maybe that's called, you think, what are the odds are that Dave Caldwell is one of these people dressed up in a hazmat suit behind me right now? Wouldn't that be a surprise?
One of them is looking a little shorter, so it's a possibility.
Oh, you just called Dave Caldwell short, did you?
Maybe.
You kind of did.
I did, yeah.
All right, you did. I don't know how tall he is. I mean, he's probably an average-sized guy is what he is. How tall is Dave Caldwell, would you say?
I'm not sure. I mean,
Is he shorter than you?
He's not short.
Is he shorter than you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't know.
How tall are you?
5'9".
5'9"? I hope he's not shorter than you. Damn.
So we have the official results from last year's Media Mock Draft, and the guys took Leonard Williams.
Oh, they took Leonard Williams. Do we give him another shot? Where did Dante Fowler go in the Media Mock Draft last year?
Fowler went fifth to the Washington Redskins.
Redskins. Didn't they go guard last year?
It went Winston, Mariota, Leonard Williams, Amari Cooper, Fowler, with Brandon Scherff going sixth.
Yeah, I think Scherff went to Washington,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
In the real draft, correct.
Right, in the real draft, right, which is not anywhere close to as important as the Media Mock Draft coming up next Tuesday. All right, today you've got the topic out there. If you want to get in, that's the way to do it, 641-1010. Give us three players realistically who you'd like to see or think could end up on the Jacksonville Jaguars in the upcoming draft. You can include the first-round pick, but try to keep it within the realm of reality of something that could actually be pulled off. If you want to propose a couple of first-rounders, then show us the details of how you got that second first-round pick, whether it's a trade-up from number two or what you're giving up to get that. Just to make it a little bit more in the realm of reality. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, with the Hazmat crew. Hopefully, Tony, we won't be infectious, and hopefully we won't be doing a marathon broadcast because they don't let us out of the studio. We may be hermetically sealed in sometime in the next few minutes. So listen for that. That'll be fun for everybody out there. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, yeah. Now we got it figured out, Tony. Now we know why there's a potential outbreak there in the city of Jacksonville. And what happens after the outbreak? What comes after the outbreak?
Containment.
Containment comes after the outbreak, Tony. Yes, that is absolutely correct. It dawned on me in my ever slowly moving brain. I have seen these previews for the show Containment. Marcel Robinson is the star of CW17. At least that's what he tells us. And he joins us here in the 1010XL studios. You're all decked out, man. Is that thing really protect you, or is that just for the good look?
You know, in my experience, you can never take any chances.
Is that right?
Yes.
When you go on a first date, is that the kind of thing that you're wearing? Are you... Are you, does that send the wrong signal to a young lady?
You know, it kind of depends on the lady.
Yeah. That's a good point. Marcel has got his hazmat gear on, tonight. He works, of course, over at CW17. You see him out at, Jaguar practices, training camps, OTAs, mini camps. Anytime the Jags are on the field and, the media is allowed to watch him, Marcel is there with his, trusty camera in hand. And, you guys are debuting tonight, Containment on CW17. I love these kind of shows. Tell me, however, how a show about a disease that starts in the city of Atlanta is a new concept for CW17. I believe I've heard something like this, Tony, in recent years, but it doesn't involve zombies.
It always starts in Atlanta.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Give us the lowdown, Containment, coming up tonight on CW17 at 9 o'clock.
Well, you know, like you said, the concept, it starts out in Atlanta. You know, vast outbreak just breaks out. You know, when there's outbreak, you got to, you know, keep everybody contained. And basically what happens is the virus, once they discover the virus, they, you know, lock everybody in. But there's a certain group of people who are locked in that aren't infected. So now it's on them to kind of get out without being infected and or, you know, any other negative consequence.
I like, I watch, I'm a big fan of Flash and Arrow on CW17. It's like family viewing night when those come on. Here's what I'm going to suggest for Containment tonight, because, you know, there are a lot of these shows. You have to distinguish yourself from these shows, that are out there, right, that are, have the same similar motif. Tony, that we have a, what's called a one sheet here that,
yes.
That kind of, publicizes Containment with five actors who I'm guessing are the stars of Containment. Marcel, can you get one of these dead tonight? Can one of these people die? That's what we need now. Game of Thrones kills off its main character at the end of season one. No one's safe on The Walking Dead except Rick and Carl and a couple of others. But they've earned that over a year's time. Can we kill one of the main characters on the first episode? That would hook me, I think.
You know what? I don't want to give any secrets away, but I'll make some calls and see what
happens. He's going to make some calls, and then we'll tune in tonight at 9 o'clock on CW17 to find out.
I think it's a more interesting concept if the containment actually works. Like, if they really can't get out of that building.
If they're stuck in there?
Yeah.
I always thought, you know, Dawn of the Dead, wouldn't it be ideal to live in a mall? I mean, it seemed like a utopia. Oh,
yeah.
Wait.
And instead of the virus, like, taking over the planet, it actually does get contained in the show. Like, they actually did capture it early enough that it's in this building. And it doesn't get out to the rest of the world. It's just these people that are stuck in there have to find a way to survive.
Oh!
I don't know if that's what the show actually does.
I have no idea. Now we have multiple possibilities for tonight's program.
Well, one way to find out.
Tune in to CW17 at 9 o'clock. Marcel, who do you want the Jags to take with the fifth pick?
You know, if Ramsey's there, I kind of like it, but I'm thinking we might be going Bosa. If he's there, I mean...
You think they would take Bosa over Ramsey if he's there? You'd prefer Ramsey.
Me personally, yes.
Yeah,
I would.
But you think it'll be Bosa?
I think, you know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things on defense. I mean, it's kind of, you can never have too many, more than enough secondary, and you can never have too many defensive guys. But I think where it kind of depends on what Fowler's doing. I think we kind of have all of our chips in one basket with that, just kind of seeing where it's going. But, I mean, secondary guys, we're losing Colvin, and you don't really know what you've got with Gibson with him coming in, how he's going to, you know, blend with the system and everything. So I don't think you can go wrong with the secondary guy.
All right. And Marcel, final question for you. I guess it's a two-parter. Are you surprised I didn't ask this question earlier? And B, the question is, what happened to the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, Marcel?
You know, I'm going to go with Steven Adams' mustache.
Is that what it was? All right. You are the only legitimate Oklahoma City Thunder fan I've ever known. Josh Carney tried to bandwagon him years ago. And what is he now, a Sacramento Kings fan or something like that? Out there in California, it's hard to say. I don't know. But
hey, Thunder up.
Thunder up, baby. Marcel, good to see you, bud. Tonight, 9 o'clock on CW17, There you go. Containment. Tuesdays at 9. Kill off one of these main characters.
Do they actually contain it?
I don't know. We have to tune in to find out, Tony.
We
get that
you.
That you.
I will find you.
Hugh Laurie show.
And I will kill you.
Is Liam Neeson featured?
Liam
in this
Neeson
book?
Hates the disease.
He's going to eradicate the disease. Oh, and we got great, awesome, cool containment packs. Is there a way to get these? Can people get these somehow, or is this just for us? Because these are really, really nice.
Well, this is what we like to consider our Willy Wonka golden ticket containment pack. So
nice.
We really need you guys on the air to keep us entertained throughout the day. So we have to save you guys first.
Excellent. All right. So if there is a containment kind of situation, event, we may just tent this building, Tony, and stay here at work. We've got all kinds of emergency preparedness stuff in here that could actually come in handy in all manner of apocalypse,
sure.
Not just disease or zombie induced. So that ought to be good.
Yeah, we got food and water and matches.
And we got the hand sanitizer, which apparently kills whatever it is that they're going to be having go around tonight in the program. So
yeah, I'm more partial to the waterproof matches.
Waterproof matches are awesome, dude. I like this containment kit. I am going to – maybe we'll make this as a prize in our – we'll do a draft contest. Oh, we'll give Tony's away.
It's
in the contest.
Bad.
That's the first prize.
It's not bad.
There you go. It's actually been touched by Tony Smith. Mine's coming home with me. All right. Thank you, Marcel.
Absolutely. Thank
Good
you,
to
guys.
See you, buddy. There we go. 641-1010. Let's head out to Dave on the south side, going to lead us off today as we are talking about the question of the day. Give us three players you'd like to see the Jaguars end up with. Marcel thinks one of them should be Jalen Ramsey, if at all possible, but he thinks it might be Bosa, even if Ramsey is available at that spot. Dave on the south side, welcome to Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good, guys. Glad to hear you guys will be ready for the apocalypse now.
We're all set. I think we're all set now, Dave. I mean, we've got this little pack that's, about the size of a thick book. There's even some dry good foods in there.
Yeah.
So we're set.
Oh,
for,
boy.
At least two or,
it's all about the substance.
I think I could get through a full afternoon with this, Dave, at least. So what can we do for you this morning?
Well, you start looking at the draft. I think we need some linebacker help myself. You know, I'd like to have Ramsey, but Miles Jack seems to be the player of choice. You know, they say his knees may be bad, but if you can get 2 years out of him, you can get 2 years out of him. They're all, day to day after that point. So I'd like to see us get a little linebacker help. Maybe in the second round you get Robert Kendiche if he falls.
Okay.
I know he's got some little issues, but if he falls to us in the second round, I mean, that guy's a stud. So, and the one I'm thinking in the third round, and I don't know if anybody's even mentioned, there's a guy out of the Pac-10 called Scooby Reich. He's a middle linebacker. He was a Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year in 2014 with 14.5 sacks at middle of the linebacker, 167 tackles. He's exactly who we need to start grooming for Posluszny when he goes. You know, it's one thing that killed us last year when Posluszny and Skuda went down. We had zero backup linebackers. You know, we had undrafted free agents who had no clue, and they just got exposed. And I think if we can solve that problem, we can go a long way. We have some pretty good depth in the corner, but, maybe not elite depth, but we have some depth there, but we have no depth at all at linebacker, and I like to see us go that direction.
Dave, excellent call. I appreciate it. Thanks for getting us started today, and you be safe out there, whatever apocalypse comes your way.
Yeah, I actually saw Russ Landy, who we had on with us yesterday, did a video for USA Today Sports talking about the top five mid to late round steals potentially in this draft, and Scooby Wright was the first name that he mentioned among those players because he's not a guy that you're hearing talked about a whole lot as far as a day one even early day two pick, but he is the Pac-10 or Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. He's a middle linebacker naturally coming into the league, so that certainly could be a direction the Jaguars look at some point in the draft. I don't know that they would go Jack and Wright in the same draft unless they really feel like Wright's a value for them at some point, because it does feel like if they're drafting Jack, he's to be the eventual middle linebacker replacement for Puz.
You think, but clearly,
they need more than one linebacker, but
they do, Tony, and it depends on how you want to continue to define your linebacker roles as well, right? I mean, to me, I look at Miles Jack and I'm like, wow, he's a great coverage guy, so he could certainly play the strong side, but he's got the speed and the that you think more of traditionally, and the size that you'd think of on the weak side. But that's where Telvin Smith's going to be holding court, hopefully for a long, long time. And that's really the spot that he needs to play in this defense, Telvin Smith does. So I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they took two linebackers in this draft.
No.
I think I would be surprised if they took two in the first three picks, but that's okay. I like the Scooby Wright selection here. NFL Draft Scout, by the way, has him graded as a kind of a tweener between the third and fourth round. So maybe if you could get him early fourth round, that may be something that you'd definitely be interested in. By the way, Miles Jack's agent has come out yesterday and been critical of the reports from Les Bowen up in Philadelphia that Bowen tweeted that an NFL source called Miles Jack a time bomb whose knee could give him several good years, comma, or not. Bone and cartilage starting to break away. The source compared Miles Jack's knee situation to Jonathan Vilma, as we've seen. Then the agent for Miles Jack, John Thornton, came out and said, I wish these doctors / trainers would have shared concussion info like they shared the alleged Miles Jack knee info, # the shield. In other words, you do anything to protect the shield. That's why the concussion info was kept close to the vest. That is not an outright dismissal, though, of what's being said. He just says alleged Miles Jack knee info. Doesn't mean it's not true, right? He never says incorrect Miles Jack knee info. But then he did put a video out there of Jack working out with the Jags this weekend. Of course, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley were both out there. And, you know, Jack is doing a lot of explosive moves in it. He's going side to side. The knee looks okay. I don't know what the team is looking for. And they're going to look beyond just what he can do in a workout anyway, Tony. You know, when you're talking about 6 or 7 good years, the knee may be fine right now, but they may see something in it that they think is degenerative and long-term, and it just ultimately is going to catch up with him. That's where the time bomb phrase comes in. We're not privy to what's going on, you know, inside Miles Jack's knee. The Jags are certainly more privy to it. It's going to be fascinating to find out, talking to Dave Caldwell, whether they select him or don't select him, whether they have an opportunity or not, what he'll be willing to share with us as far as what their knowledge was at this stage, because they probably know right now as much as they're going to know about it.
Sure, look, some general manager in 9 days on that Thursday night is going to pick Miles Jack, and then it's going to stand at a podium or in front of a camera with ESPN or NFL Network and say that we feel fine about Miles Jack's knee. He's going to be fine. He's going to be there for us in training camp. He's going to be good to go. We foresee him as this type of player. Look at that athleticism. Look what we got. And there's going to be a handful of GMs that are sitting back going, what a mistake. What a mistake. And somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. We just don't know. If you can't see the future with really any of these prospects. Are you willing to take some kind of risk on an injury-related question as opposed to the off-field-related questions? Does his game really translate to the National Football League? There's been plenty of guys that everyone says is a surefire, 100% safe pick. Aaron Curry was that guy a couple years ago. Couldn't survive 5 years in the league.
Right.
Couldn't survive 5 years. So it's impossible to really know what any of these guys are going to become in the league, but the injury questions are so scary for general managers to take a risk on.
All kidding aside, because we were talking about earlier, if they drafted Miles Jack and he was instrumental in them winning the Super Bowl this year and then he retired, would that be a successful pick? We said yes, because if he was instrumental in them winning a Super Bowl, that would be great. But beyond a Super Bowl, Tony, how many years are you hoping to get out of, look, we all want to get a 12-year career, right, out of a guy you pick number 5. But are you satisfied if he plays out a full 5-year rookie contract with the team option for the 5th year picked up and then goes somewhere else and maybe is a really good player or not for them? If you get 5 good years out of your top 10 draft pick, is that enough for it to be considered a success?
Yeah. If they were good while they were with you, then yes. And if you had to make some kind of financial decision where you couldn't keep that number of guys together, then okay. I mean, it happens. If your team's being successful and he's been successful with you, then yeah, I think it's a good pick, even if it winds up somewhere else in a second contract.
Look at so many guys who don't give you half that in terms of good years.
Sure.
So, yes, Dan Hicken has lost his phone, ladies and gentlemen. We should have hit it. We should have made a little scavenger hunt.
I almost told Tyler to text Dan now about the mock draft next week, and I will make sure Dan's
in.
Yeah,
text Dan. We want to see if Dan is available along with Brent Martineau to select for the Jaguars. So
all right,
text him. I know he has his phone on him now, Tyler, so see if we can get a hold of Hick, and hopefully we'll be able to hook up with him next Tuesday for the media mock draft. All right, we got to take a timeout. 641-1010. If you'd like to be a part of the program, that is the way to do it, both on the phone lines and on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. We'll check in with the text coming up in a moment. On Twitter and Facebook, question of the day is, give us three players that you would realistically like to see end up on the Jaguars after next week's NFL draft. In other words, they have 8 picks right now. Whether they use some of them, package them in trade, or they just leave them where they are and they select, who are three guys likely you're going to include, who you see going with the number 5 overall pick, but just give us three players. And that's what we did a few minutes ago, talking about Scooby Wright, that you have to go beyond a little bit the first round and the guys we've been focusing on just near the top of the draft. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, if you want to get in, you know the various ways to do it. Question today, give us three players realistically who you'd like to see end up on the Jacksonville Jaguars. With that, we've got a couple of things coinciding beautifully, Tony. We have Mel Kiper's three-round mock draft out there, so he's going to give you three players you think could end up on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also, Pro Football Focus is putting together team draft boards. They're taking their rankings of players, but then adjusting them based on team needs and situations to say, like, we have such and such a player number 1, but that particular team may rank him number 7 or whatever due to an influx or a bunch of players at his position, whatever the case may be. So we'll go through that as well coming up here in a moment. Here is here's one. Take Bosa in the first, Hargraves in the second, Miles Stample in the third. They're talking about Niles Lawrence Stample? What? Hargraves
right?
In the second?
If Hargraves is in the second, I guarantee you the Jags will take him
world.
In the second.
Jack 1, Spence in the second, and Alexander in the third from Short Dog in Gainesville. Mackenzie Alexander is all over some draft boards, right? Did he have no interceptions in his entire college career? Is that what it was?
Correct.
His entire career.
I believe it's his entire career.
You think he'd make one play? I don't think he lasts anywhere close to the third round. I think Noah Spence is gone. Possibly, likely, before the Jags select in round 2 as well. So you've got that. Here's one who says Scooby Wright fits more in Scooter's role. He's a blitzer and a run stuffer. Nothing special in coverage. So you got that going for you. Maybe Scooby Wright to be an auto if you're talking about a mid-round selection. So weigh in on the text line driven by Duval Ford if you so desire right there. Let's go to Kiper because we can get through this quickly here, Tony.
Sure.
He's got his three-round mock-up for the Jacksonville Jaguars where he has him taking Miles Jack. He has him taking Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle out of UCLA, a guy who is considered by most sources a top 40 selection. You saw him early on in a lot of first rounds in mock drafts. He slid out of that, but you don't see him get past the middle of round 2 in most mock drafts out there. Again, defensive tackle. I'm not sure what the obsession with defensive tackle is with some of the pundits out there. Do you see a defensive tackle, a true defensive tackle? Like Kenny Clark is not a DeForest Buckner who you feel like is quick enough to rush from the edge and also can help you by sliding inside, say, next to Malik Jackson on, you know, third down packages. Kenny Clark is a true defensive tackle. I don't see them taking one of those that early.
It would surprise me a little bit, but if there's a value there, then I could see it happening in some circumstances, but I don't know that I expect them to take defensive tackle.
They went with Max, or Kiper went with Max Turk, the center from Southern
Cal.
Everybody
wants to get the Jags a center.
Yeah, and I get it.
Yeah.
A center or a guard, right? And I think you're looking to probably add one of those at some point in this draft. Here's what Kiper said. He said, this defense has added a bunch of help in free agency. Hey, someone acknowledged they have added help in free agency. Hope everyone's reading that. But we know that process can offer up a lot of fool's gold. And after ranking 31st in defense last year, the Jags shouldn't be done on that side of the ball. Jack gives us an immediate starter because I guess Kiper, when writing about a team, decides he's part of the organization.
Yes. So
Jack gives us an immediate starter, a brilliant cover linebacker.
It's a real power trip.
It is, right? Who isn't shy at the line of scrimmage. Plug him in. We get stronger against the run up front with the addition of Clark. And with him, Malik Jackson, and Dante Fowler Jr., I'm starting to feel a little bit better about life for that defense. Turk is a solid center. a clear need spot and a reasonable value and could be a starter at that position in week one. So there you have it. That's nice. That's how he sees it going. By the way, he sees the Rams going Goff. The Browns, he's got putting Wentz. He says, since I'm drafting for the Browns, I'd be disappointed Goff isn't available, but excited to give Hugh Jackson a player such as Wentz. I don't think Hugh Jackson is excited about that prospect. Laremy Tunsil to the Chargers. Cowboys take Ramsey. Jags take Jack. Bosa goes to the Ravens. Then it goes Ronnie Stanley to San Fran. DeForest Buckner, 8, to Philadelphia. Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle out of Michigan, to the Bucks. And Laquon Treadwell, who I still contend, even though he's not being discussed in these terms as a top 10 pick, I think he is a beautiful compliment to Odell Beckham Jr. And I could absolutely see the Giants going in that direction. But you think if Ezekiel Elliott's on the board, you go Elliott or do you go Treadwell for the Giants? If it's you picking, if you're only deciding between those two guys.
I go Treadwell.
How come?
Because the careers of receivers are usually longer than running backs, and it's easier to find a running back that can come in and help you. I get that Elliott is the elite running back prospect in this draft, but it's easier to find running back help than it is to find wide receiver help.
I think so, too. I think you can make the argument, though, that what's the window for Eli right now? He's 35 sure. years old. Ezekiel Elliott is instant impact. Let me just look at one more. I just want to see what they have the Titans doing in the middle of round one. Josh Doctson, the wide receiver out of TCU.
Yeah, when you do a three-round mock now, you have to figure out 6 picks for the Titans.
Right. That's true. He's got a bunch of them going there, but he's got Doctson going in round one. I don't see him going wide receiver at that spot. They have Doriel Green-Beckham, who they took in the second round last year. They signed Rishard Matthews. That's an under-the-radar free agent signing this offseason. They still have Kendall Wright. I don't think they're that desperate. I mean, I know you want to get weapons, but I think they'd much more likely look to protect. But he does have him taking Jason Spriggs with the 43rd overall pick. A lot of people think he'll slide into round one. By the way, according to Kuiper, Kuiper's projection had Noah Spence available in round two with the 38th pick and the Jags passing on Noah Spence. And Noah Spence, I believe, ended up going to the New York Giants with the 40th pick. Again, this is Mel's three-round mock, so take it for what it's worth. Just a projection. We'll get back to that in a moment. Let's get David. Where is he? I'm 295 right now. David, be careful out there, buddy. What's going on? How are you?
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
We're excellent. What's going on?
I'm just getting back in town, so I haven't listened for a while. I've been in Jerusalem, Israel. So I'm
really?
Really blessed.
How yeah. was it, man? I mean, that was probably unbelievable. How was the trip?
Man, it was a life changing experience for me. But we won't talk about that.
I understand, man. I don't run into somebody every day who's gone to Jerusalem recently, so that's pretty cool.
It's fantastic. But my question is I haven't, you know, like I've been out of town, so I haven't heard a lot about the draft. But why isn't there any more love for Tunsil? Because I would think that is the thinking that he's not going to be there when the Jags pick. Because to me, protecting Bortles is the number one thing that we should be worried about. And maybe Boselli is not cutting it for me. So I appreciate your comments.
All right. Thank you, David. And glad you're back here safely on terra firma in the United States of America. We've got a situation where the Jags signed Kelvin Beachum, a former Pittsburgh left tackle this offseason. He's 26, 27 years old, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Torn ACL last season, missed the final, I think, 10 games of the year. So the feeling is they've done something to at least provide competition for Jokel, if not upgrade outright. And I think a lot of people feel, the majority feel, that if he's healthy, he's going to win that job. Now, that being said, I don't think Tunsil should be out of the conversation. And we've talked about this extensively, David, and I know you miss these conversations, but I think the reaction and why you say we're not hearing more about Tunsil is because, Tony, clearly people think 31st-ranked defense, as Kuiper pointed out. We fixed the 31st-ranked offense or took a major step in the right direction, and it should get better as these young players continue to mature. If you get a full, healthy season out of Julius Thomas, the addition of Chris Ivory, we're okay over here, I think is the general consensus. We really need help on that side of the ball. Let's hope we're not picking in the top 5 again for a long, long time. We got to get a defensive playmaker.
Sure. Look, Jokel was okay in 2015. He had a terrible week 17, but he was...
If he had just missed that game, how much better would you feel about him right now?
He was okay for the most part in 2015. So I'm okay if Luke Joeckel is the starter at left tackle for the Jags in 2015. Now, does that mean that I ignore any opportunity to upgrade the position? No. They've gone out, they've signed Kelvin Beachum. We'll see what they wind up doing with the number 5 overall draft pick, but I do think it's about looking at the needs this team had going into this offseason, and the idea has been defense, defense, defense at number 5 since the season ended, and really since a month before the season ended, that's been the thought. Wherever they wind up in the draft, they're taking defense wherever that happens to be with that first-round pick. The idea of them not addressing it with that number 5 pick, I think, bothers a lot of fans, especially since, look, they didn't land Olivier Vernon. They didn't bring in another guy that can play that Leo kind of pass rusher. And I'm not saying that they're even going to draft one of those guys at 5 necessarily. But the idea of going through free agency and not helping that and then not addressing it with that number 5 pick and instead choosing to go get a left tackle, I think would bother a lot of fans. It doesn't particularly bother me. But I think there are a lot of fans out there that would be upset with that kind of pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bothered by it either. And I think part of it is he hasn't been part of the conversation for months because the Titans were sitting there and presumed that they would take him. And if they didn't, maybe San Diego would grab him. And it still is probably likely that he won't be there for you. But it's a lot more possible that he will be now following that
trade.
And
I think if he is available at 5, the opportunity to move down will be there.
It could be. Let's get Ron in Gainesville before we break here. Hi, Ron. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
All right. I'd like to weigh in on the question of the day.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. I've been thinking about it, and my my rationale leads me to Leonard Floyd, Emmanuel Ogba, and Deion Jones. Here's my argument for all three.
Okay.
Leonard Floyd, he's a great outside pass rusher. I think in the next few years, he could wind up being a Von Miller-type player. Emmanuel Ogba, I see as a poor man Ziggy Ansah. He doesn't have the greatest pass rush moves, but he does have a lot of power that will give you a great backup and complement in the run game as far as a Leo position. And Deion Jones, I saw clips of him at the Senior Bowl. Just he doesn't have very much starting. He's just started 1 year at LSU. But he has pure speed. He's a 4.41 guy, 6.1. He could be groomed into that middle linebacker spot. And I honestly think that anybody that can track the ball and run it down 15 yards and make a play on it in the pass game is worth a third-round pick.
Hey, Ron, let me just ask you quickly, because Leonard Floyd is projected to come off the board somewhere, say, between 10 and 30, right? Somewhere in the latter half to two-thirds of the first round. So would you suggest that the Jags are going to take him at 5 or that they're going to trade down or they're going to possibly land him in the second round?
Well, I would take him at 5. Personally, I would take him at 5, but I remember a conversation that you guys had a couple of days ago about Laremy Tunsil being there. I think Tampa Bay would be more than thrilled to trade up to get Laremy Tunsil, and you guys could trade back if that's a possibility. They just drafted a franchise quarterback. I'm pretty darn sure they want to protect him.
Right.
And that's the best tackle in the draft. So there's your trade partner right there. I mean, other guys have been mentioned, but I'm pretty sure that Tampa Bay wants to improve their offensive line.
Gotcha.
And Ron, that would be the best option.
I got to jump in, buddy. We got a break, but I appreciate the call. And there's a name that we will discuss coming up in a moment, Tony, and where – Pro Football Focus has Leonard Floyd ranked. They have him ranked considerably higher for the Jaguars than they do on their overall board. So we'll pick up on that part of the conversation, Ron, on the other side. This is Dayton Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Straight ahead, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, 419 is the date. You know what that means. Tomorrow is Wednesday. All right.
Hooray!
Famous birthdays for April 19th in National Football League history. Tony, how well do you know your Giants history? Who is Alex Webster?
Was he a defensive lineman?
He was a fullback/halfback
Dang it.
For a decade with the Giants, and then He actually coached the Giants in the late 60s, early 70s for about 4 years. So he was born in the state in 1931. I've got a pop quiz for the panel here, okay? We'll start with Tony. If he gets it.
31.
If you get it, it's over. There's only one answer to this question. If not, we'll move on to Tyler, and if not, we'll move on to JJ, okay? One answer to this question. A player who appeared only in a couple of games for the Rams in the 1980s, his name is Marion Knight. What is Marion Knight's nickname?
Gladys?
That's an interesting one.
That's a good choice.
That's not a bad guess. It's a little outside the box. Tyler, Marion Knight's nickname.
I'm going to go with Knight Rider.
Knight Rider is incorrect, sir. JJ. Step up to the mic and give us Marion Knight's nickname. He played in two games as a scab player during the 1987 players' strike. Marion Knight, not best known professionally for his football exploits.
The White Knight.
That is incorrect. His nickname is Shug.
Shug.
Sugar Bear. Shug Knight is currently incarcerated for attempted murder, I believe. Vehicular homicide, I believe, is the cause. 51 years old, so...
I didn't know that was his real name.
Shug Knight is Marion Knight. He played, I think he was a defensive tackle or defensive end, actually, he was, for the Rams for two games as a scab.
Marion's not a very intimidating name for a guy named Shug.
Hey, wasn't Marion John Wayne's first name, too? Am I incorrect about that?
I don't know.
I think it was. His real name is Marion something or other. As Tyler looks that up, happy 51st behind bars.
Correct.
Shug.
Marion... Robert Morrison.
Marion Morrison is John Wayne, so maybe it's maybe it leads you to do more manly things like become a cowboy or allegedly murder Biggie and Tupac. You know, I don't know. Keith McCants, born in this state, the Alabama defensive end. He was a fourth overall pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he came out of school. He's 48 years young today. Michael Barrow, the pride of the Miami Hurricane program, undersized linebacker, played a long time in the league with the Oilers, Panthers, and Giants primarily. He's 46. And Troy Polamalu today, born on this date, 1981. Tony turns 35 now, recently retired. How many Pro Bowls for Troy Polamalu?
I'll go five.
Eight. 8-4 for Troy Polamalu. I contend if he had a buzz cut, he would have only made about six Pro Bowls myself. But that's just me. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
What would be the top two linebackers in this year's draft class? Without much question, both dealing with knee injuries, creating questions heading into the draft. We've talked a lot about the medical recheck of Miles Jack's knee and the report from a league insider that the knee is a time bomb. The news on Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame is even worse. Smith tore his ACL and LCL in the Fiesta Bowl. The nerves in his leg are not regenerating, leaving questions about when or if they ever will. The talk right now is that Smith won't be able to play at all in 2016, and there's not a clear answer on when or how effectively he will ever play football again. Brian Hoyer, who was released by the Houston Texans earlier this week, is expected to visit with the New York Jets. The Jets pursued Hoyer last offseason before Hoyer signed with the Houston Texans. The Jets still have not been able to work out a contract with Ryan Fitzpatrick and are not expected to before next week's draft. The Kansas City Chiefs lost their appeal, which was announced right at the beginning of free agency. So the NFL moved pretty quickly on this one, unlike some other things in their past. They will lose a third-round pick this year, a sixth-round pick next year for tampering with free agent wide receiver Jeremy Maclin before last year's free agency period. The team fine was reduced from $250,000 to $200,000. Head coach Andy Reid's fine was reduced from $75,000 to $60,000. So if you want to consider that a win, go ahead. I highly doubt the Chiefs do.
No. They would pay quadruple the fine, give them back the third-round pick. That's a pretty significant draft pick to get taken away. But you got to pay the piper. By the way, Jalen Smith, they're saying he might have foot drop, which is also known as drop foot. Right, have you heard of it? Seriously.
Foot drop, also known as drop foot.
Well, I've heard of drop foot, and then people yesterday were saying he has foot drop, and I'm like, they're writing this wrong. Apparently, foot drop is what it really is called, but is also sometimes called drop foot. But it's the inability to lift the front part of the foot, which causes you to drag your toes along the ground when you're walking, or to remedy it, either pick your knee up significantly higher, kind of swing your leg out to the side so you're not dragging your foot along. Mm-hmm. And it's indicative of nerve damage in the foot. So, or nerve damage in other areas that may ultimately, you know, terminate in your foot having these issues. So, That's
hard to run.
It's hard to run when you can't pick your toes up.
Yeah.
Off the ground. And apparently that is, you know, the source of a lot of the speculation that the nerve damage has taken place inside of his foot. So, I think he's hanging around for a long, long time.
What's the earliest you guys would pick him for the Jaguars? Any earlier than 4?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Not at this point, no.
I mean, you're taking on a guy.
There are serious questions that he may not ever play.
He may not ever play. It could be a 2-year thing. I mean, you're willing to take your third-round pick and not have him play for 2 years? He's certainly not going to play for a year at this, you know, from everything we know right now, it looks like a certainty that he's not playing in 2016. So I don't think he has signed off on that necessarily, but that seems to be the feeling in the NFL medical community following the recheck last week.
Yeah, I do wonder if what we're seeing Jalen deal with here does affect some players going forward as far as playing in these bowl games. If you're not playing in the championship games, right, like no one, I get that it's the Fiesta Bowl. It's not a bad bowl game that he wound up getting hurt in, but for a guy like that, for a lot of these players, you hear reports. I've heard Pat Dooley on this station talking about some of the Gators that were there last year, you know, with Vernon Hargraves and those types of guys, Bullard, and how the conversation felt like for them leading up to that bowl game was just, please, God, don't let me get hurt in this game. And I think if you get to a point in your career where you feel like you know about what your draft stock is, and the thought of, for the first time maybe in their entire football career, is at the front of their mind of, please just don't let me get hurt in this 60-minute. I think if you are in that kind of mindset, that you're better off just saying, I'm going to the NFL draft, I've hired an agent, I'm done.
Right.
As opposed to risking any kind of injury.
No, you're right. And, you know, those guys will get excoriated for not loving football enough, not being, you know, good teammate. They'll be run through the ringer because who does it benefit? Tony, it benefits football coaches to have them on the field,
yeah.
Right? And, well, those football coaches are getting paid millions of dollars in most of these cases, while the players are getting, you know, room and board. I'm not saying what they get is worthless, but it pales in comparison for the value that they generate compared to what the coaches and their assistants, for that matter, rake in cash. So, look, if that's what a guy thinks is the best move to maximize his deal, I don't think you'll ever see it happened on a widespread basis,
no.
But if you're talking about a bowl game that truly now is not part of the playoff, you can consider it meaningless. I'm not saying that a kid in a Pac-12 school would pass up the Rose Bowl if it didn't factor in the national championship. But, you know, you're going to play in the whatever it is. There's still a Blue Bonnet Bowl? I don't think there is. But
whatever
you get
point. And when you sit down with an NFL coach who asks, why didn't you play in your bowl game, and you say, my dream was to be here. You know, I've been working since I was 10 years old to be here, to be on an NFL stage.
Right.
I knew where my stage was going to be. My dream wasn't to play in the Music City Bowl. You know, like, that's not what I've been working for my whole life, was to show up in that kind of bowl game. It was to be here on this stage in the National Football League, and I'm going to protect that, my opportunity to play here, because it means that much to me. And I think in the NFL, they won't look badly upon that at all.
Despite that, I do think there would be some that might say, well, does he love football enough? Is he going to be a me-first guy? If he's in the final year of his contract, is he going to shut it down and protect himself for his next contract? Whether that's realistic or not, I think
the question will get
there
asked.
Were teams that would probably use that against him. Jason Lockenfora, info guy, NFL type from CBS Sports. He will join us coming up next, and we'll go around the league, some of the top stories impacting the top of the draft and beyond. We'll get the scoop from Jason Lockenfora on that. Got a new mock draft out from Rob Rang. That came out yesterday afternoon. He's got Miles Jack to the Jags. No surprise, but thought I'd mention it. We still got to get to the PFF draft board for the Jaguars, which will be fun to look at coming up as well. Jason Lockenfora, everyone's favorite from CBS Sports, coming up next right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along this morning. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you, Jaguars Today here on 1010XL. And we are joined now by Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS and CBSSports.com. Good morning, Jason. How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We'd be doing better if we knew that Miles Jack's knee was 100%, but everyone else thought it wasn't right now. What are you hearing from your sources? Because there's a lot of conflicting information about just the state of his knee right now.
Yeah, I'm working on a piece for CBSSports.com on it right now. I don't know about 100%, but the teams I'm talking to, who I trust, to guys I know well, you know, guys who in all likelihood probably aren't taking this kid but have access to all his medicals, they don't have a problem with it. I had several teams tell me, you know, this looks like a smear campaign. Something's not right. The stuff that's being out there, that makes it sound like this kid's knee's just going to explode sometime in the next 18 months or whatever, or spontaneously combust or whatever. They're just like, it's the furthest thing from the truth. And that's leading me to believe he'll probably still go somewhere in the range of where people expect it. Is he going to go top five? Maybe not, but I certainly think he's still going somewhere top 15 and probably top 10.
And with the number one pick being traded last week, a lot of conversation about what the Rams are or aren't going to do with that pick. Which quarterback are they going to land on? I know you recently had the opportunity to speak with Rams general manager Les Snead. Did he give you any kind of hint as to where he may be leaning?
Oh, you know, they're trying to play their cards close to the vest. And whatever, you know, I kind of pushed him on Goff because there's a pretty strong sentiment in scouting circles and among his peers, other general managers, that you don't make that kind of trade to draft a kid from North Dakota State who missed 8 weeks, you know what I mean, who threw 17 touchdowns, who might be 2 years away while you're moving to a new market in L.A., where the owner now is expecting some success, you know, fairly immediately, and you're trying to sell, you know, tickets to a fickle fan base and all that. You know, he poo-pooed that to some degree, but, you know, ultimately I've become one who does believe that you make that trade for Jared Goff. Clearly they know the guy. I mean, he concedes there's a leader in the clubhouse. He concedes, yes, it's going to be a quarterback. You know, they maintain they'll continue to do their due diligence on both kids, as they should. You never know if something late happens that affects the process. But I'm going to side with what a lot of the GMs are telling me, which is that you know, it's being looked at in the NFL as Goff is the first pick. And the real question is the draft starts at two. And, you know, do the Browns stay there and take Wentz, or are they able to trade out of that pick as they're certainly exploring? And if they do stay there, is there any chance that they take someone other than Wentz?
Yeah, and that's the thing, Jason. The reporting today we see is that the Browns are actively calling others trying to move out of that pick, which indicates to me that they're not, you know, settled on Wentz being a guy that they would draft. If they like both quarterbacks, I think they'd stay right there and grab one. Let's say they don't. Let's say they're stuck there. Who do you think is the best fit for that team, you know, among the other position players that would be available to them?
Well, I can tell you the number one defensive player on their board is DeForest Buckner. Now, would they follow their board? How political do things get? Is that a sexy enough pick for them? You know, is the owner on board with that when you're picking that high? I don't know, but I can tell you I'm pretty wired into that building. That's their number one defensive player. Doesn't mean that that's what they do. The people I talked to believe, and I reported back over the weekend that as soon as it was clear that at least the perception was clear that Goff was one, these guys started marketing that pick. They started shopping too in earnest to the point where people believe that they were, you know, all things being equal, they wanted to trade the pick. You know, when it all does hit the fan, if they can't trade it, if you put a gun to my head right now, I would say they take Wentz and, you know, hold their breath. But they saw all the accolades that the Tennessee front office got, their young general manager, John Robinson, received for trading down. You've got an unproven GM in Cleveland, a rookie GM, Sauce Brown, who doesn't really have a football operations background, who may be in over his head and who's taken a fair amount of criticism in a short period of time. Trading down is generally a fairly safe proposition, and I tend to think maybe they do it even for less than full value if they really aren't, you know, of the mind where they want to make that pick at two and potentially, you know, take a quarterback who isn't their top choice and or get a kid who, you know, is so raw you just don't know what you're going to get and when he's going to play.
You know, you mentioned political considerations. Are you talking about strictly just drafting a quarterback because that's perceived to be what you need to do if you're in position to get one? Or does that factor in with a guy like Joey Bosa playing his football in the state of Ohio and being a highly ranked prospect himself? When you say politics, are you talking about the quarterback or something beyond
inside
that?
Inside the building. You know, inside the building.
I got
and
you.
And where, what is the owner really thinking and how, what's going to, you know, even if he doesn't come out and demand a certain outcome, he can make it pretty clear what he wants. And are all these guys who are in a building where he fires everybody every 9 to 18 months anyway, really going to go out on a limb for a defensive lineman if it's pretty clear that's not, even though that's what their board says, that may not be what behooves them, you know, in terms of job security. And I would counter that by saying there is no job security in Cleveland. And when you take that job, you know, it could be a one and done. So you're always going to have concern. I mean, the track record there speaks for itself. you know, so we'll see. The other problem there is it's pretty widely known that some of those coaches felt like it's golf, and it's golf by a decent amount. And a lot of the analytics guys in that building feel like it's golf, and it's golf by a decent amount. Now, there's scouts in that building who like Wentz. There's some other coaches in that building who like Wentz. But they had, you know, they were leaning pretty hard team golf up until that trade there that now has, you know, thrown their outcome into a little bit of disarray.
Jason, what are you hearing about Laremy Tunsil at this point? It's been thought for a couple months before that trade was made with the number one pick that he was the most likely pick for the Tennessee Titans. Now some are saying San Diego, Jacksonville, he may be a consideration. A lot of people don't think he would be able to get past Baltimore if he did slide that far.
Right.
But what are you hearing about Laremy Tunsil right now?
I think he's in play in all those spots. And had had Tennessee not made this trade, he would have been the pick at one. They weren't taking Jalen Ramsey. There wasn't, you know, a whole lot of intrigue and mystery there. They were taking someone who they felt like could protect the blind side of Marcus Mariota for the next 15 years. That was the pick. Now they got enough value that they felt like, okay, we can slide off this kid, even though he was our guy, and still address that position at 15. Although in all likelihood, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up trading up to 7 or 8 and getting Stanley out of Notre Dame or doing something else. And I'm with you. I don't see Tunsil slotting by Ozzie Newsome. Yeah, they have Eugene Monroe there. He's been hurt the last 2 years. His production has waned. Could, you know, are they dying to take a tackle there? No, they want a difference maker on their defense, without a doubt. But if Tunsil's still there, then that means that Buckner's not, and that means that Bosa's probably not. And I could very well see them taking Tunsil, you know, moving Monroe to the right side for a year to play out, you know, what's left of his contract, you know, and moving forward in that regard. They've also Kelechi Osemele, who was the best offensive lineman in free agency, who's proven to be able to play left tackle, right tackle, and right guard. So that was a big component that they lost. So I'm with you. I don't think Tunsil gets past 6. The executives I talk to, I know that the Chargers signed King Dunlap, and he's got $3.5 million guaranteed this year. I know they signed Joe Barnsdale. But, I mean, you know, that King Dunlap deal was never going to be more than a 2-year deal. You know, and Joe Barnsdale is not, you're not changing your philosophy. You're not shaking up your organization or failing to do it because you got a pretty decent right tackle. That offensive line's been so bad for so long. I just can't think that they pass on Tunsil. I know they have needs on defense as well. You're trying to coax another 3 to 6 years out of Phillip Rivers, right, who's not a spring chicken and couldn't really move in his prime. I just don't see how you pass on, you know, a franchise left tackle to be able to get him as cheap as you can monetarily. I would think that's the pick.
Jason Lockett for us, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com here with us. Jason, a lot of Jaguar fans enamored with the idea of Noah Spence ending up on this roster, not with the 5th overall pick necessarily, but somewhere either a trade back into the first round or if he falls to them in the 2nd round. What are you hearing in terms of how concerned teams are with his off the field? He allegedly tested positive for ecstasy twice, got kicked out of not only Ohio State, but the Big Ten entirely and ended up at Eastern Kentucky.
He's off some boards. You know, when I press teams on that, I'm like, he's off your board in the first round or he's off your board. I've had at least 3 teams tell me we're not drafted. That's not to say he won't be a player, but just for us, where we are as an organization, for where our owner is, we're not touching him. I think the teams I talk to tend to like Kandice more than him. You know, obviously the other sort of character kid, you know, who can rush the passer or whatever. I think one of the two goes in the first round. I'm not sold that they both do.
A few moments ago, Jason, we were talking about Jalen Smith and the bad medical eval that he had over the weekend, and it looks like 2016 may basically have to be a redshirt year, and who knows what he's going to be beyond that. And I think the interesting discussion is with players of his caliber that was being talked about basically for the last half of his season there at Notre Dame as a potential top 5 draft pick, maybe number 1 overall at some points during the season last year. Is it in their best interest to just skip their bowl game if they're not playing for any kind of championship? How do you think NFL teams would react in the future if a player did skip bowl games of their last season?
Well, I think the way to do it is to, I don't, maybe unionize is too strong of a word. If it's one kid who does it, it's very easy to ostracize him. It's very easy to attach him to a stigma, and the scouting community is often very quick to do that with little provocation. If it's 10 or 15 kids playing across 5 meaningless crap bowl games, then what are you going to do? Then I think, you know, that sort of a little coalition like that would maybe go a long way. it's a real shame what happened there. And I still hope he gets picked in the first round. I felt better about that prior to his medical recheck than I do having heard what I have since he went back to Indianapolis. And there's concern he won't be ready for the start of 2017 either, that this is someone who maybe is starting 2017 on PUP or whatever. IR designated a return or however all that shakes out based on what he's able to do on the field, late 2016, et cetera. So, but there's a lot of talent there, as you said. This is a top five pick, a kid who everybody's rooting for as well. And it's a shame. I know he's got a pretty decent insurance policy, but it's a lot for these kids to lose, man. And again, I don't know how much to gain. Even if he has the game of his life in that ball game, he was going in the top five anyway. You know what I mean? Like, how much more
right.
he really have done for himself as an individual versus how much he's risking for that school.
Yeah, and you hear guys say, you know what, don't worry, you can make it up later. No, you can never make up the money you didn't earn.
You're never
earn.
22, 23, 24,
no.
25 again.
When your prime
is a linebacker. Linebackers are like running backs now. They don't want to sign you when you're 28, 29. It's not even 30 anymore. 28 is the new 30. So when your prime is 4 years and you're losing maybe two of them or at least a year and a half of them, that's a big deal.
Will Josh Gordon get back into the National Football League at all or certainly anytime soon?
I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, it's up to him, and it's a draconian system. The system is set up for you to fail. It you know, the way that testing gets, when you get to the stage he's in, it's very easy to slip up. A diluted sample, a missed test, being late to the test is almost the same as failing it. So history would say not many guys come back from that. I mean, you guys see it down there, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That kid's never playing. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's never playing in the NFL, you know? And that's just how it is. When you get banished for a year or more indefinitely and you start losing hope, and you can't be around any of these potential positive adult role models, and you're out of the structure of an NFL environment, and you're basically told, go figure it out on your own, and you're not given maybe the kind of holistic care that you need, and you're out there trying to kind of wade through all this, and you've already got demons to begin with. I mean, I don't even think it's a Josh Gordon thing so much as that when you get to that situation, your plight is one that exceedingly difficult to get your career back.
We know Tennessee's moving out of the top five in this year's draft. It sounds like Cleveland is at least shopping that pick there at number two. When everything's said and done, Jason, how many of the teams that are picking in the top five right now do you think could potentially be trading out of that spot?
Boy, I mean, we've already seen one. I mean, other than Cleveland, I mean, you never know. Like, look, if Tunsil's there and the Cowboys pick, say, and they're obviously not taking a left tackle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then does somebody say, well, we got to jump, we got to jump the Jags, we got to jump the Ravens to get that guy, in a scenario like that? I mean, if he gets past San Diego, then I think things could get interesting. But that's one that's born of the situation. You know what I mean? That's something that's happening on the clock in terms of this 10 days before the draft, other than Cleveland really pushing it too. I don't know how much happens there. You've got the gateway to the second quarterback now at the second pick. And then after that, I think it's going to be based on what starts happening on the clock.
All right, final one here for you, Jason, this morning. And that is, the Jags offseason. Last year, they went from the 31st ranked offense to something a lot more respectable, hoping to make the similar leap defensively. What do you make of where the roster stands right now, the additions in free agency as they get ready to spend their draft capital next week?
I mean, there's nowhere to go but up, right?
Hope so.
You hope this is the year where things click, where that these guys have been buying in. I mean, Gus Bradley is a dynamic individual. He's an easy guy to get behind. And they just haven't had the talent. And they still don't. But this is a huge draft for them. I would expect a fairly significant defensive bent to their picks. I mean, now obviously, look, if a certain player is still there and he's so far ahead of the tails away from everybody else, regardless of position, and you've got to be smart about that. But I think they're going to be very calculated in trying to buttress that defense. And, they need playmakers at every level. I mean, that's kind of the right reality. And if they can land a few in that division, it doesn't take much. I mean, it really doesn't. Look where Houston was, like late October last year. You know, I mean, they were as big of a train wreck as anybody in the league. I mean, Ryan Tannehill went out and hung like 40 points on them in a half. I mean, they gave up like 400 yards to Miami in like a half of football. I mean, they looked like a team that had utterly quit and were ready to go home. And it was, we were 3-4 weeks from Thanksgiving. They end up winning the division. So, you know, you get them a little roll in that division. You stay relatively healthy. You're going to have to win some close and late games. It seems like there's always games that go down to the last minute in that division in particular. You know, if you can avoid those last second interceptions, if you can win the turnover battle in the fourth quarter, the margins are relatively slim, and maybe you jump up 3-4 wins. And again, I don't think there's a juggernaut there, even with Andrew Luck getting healthy or whatever. I mean, I think 9 wins could be enough in that division again.
Hey, is the NFL asking you to embargo information you have, like on draft night, if you know who the pick is going to be? Are they asking for professional courtesy on that?
No.
All right, good.
But, you know, it just reaches a certain point where if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. But I would not refer to it as an NFL embargo now.
I gotcha. All right, Jason Lockenfour, by the way, on Twitter, simply at Jason Lockenfour, and, of course, at CBSSports.com as well. I know Jaguar Twitter loves you, Jason. I'm sure you know that already. So
who do they like? I don't know anybody they like.
I wouldn't even hesitate. I hesitate to say they like me.
They like Prisco, right?
Some of them do.
Prisco's the mayor of Jacksonville.
Yes, some of them do. But, you know, mayors don't always have 100% approval rating. So we know that works, too.
I'd say among that group, his is higher than most.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. All right.
Who'd he have them taken in his last mock? I haven't even looked.
I think he had Miles Jack. I just had it up a second ago.
Interesting.
No, let me see. No, he's got Miles Jack. He's got it going. He's got Philly trading up the 2, Tunsil going to the San Diego, Ramsey to the Dallas Cowboys, and then Miles Jack to the Jags. So we shall see.
We'll see.
Jason, thank you for the time, buddy. I appreciate it.
No worries.
All right. There he goes. Jason Lockenfour, big fan, reciprocal, I think, with Jaguar Twitter. Probably embraces them with the open arms that they embrace him with as well. But he is a good information guy, and I think it's interesting he's definitive that DeForest Buckner is the number one defensive player on the Cleveland Browns board. Right, he knows, and, you know, you have certain places, you have certain connections with certain people inside the building, and you've got a good source, and that's what he says, but he says it could come down to politics. Sounds like the politics would be, are we really going to get mocked for not taking a quarterback here? So it's going to be quarterback or maybe Buckner being the top guy on the board, which I think would make the vast majority of Jaguar fandom exceedingly happy. We'll take either one of those guys coming off the board at 2. Probably prefer the quarterback because then maybe Buckner's in play at 3, and now you're really giving yourself some choices. Speaking of choices, we'll see who you selected. We asked you today, give us 3 guys you'd like to see the Jags realistically land in next week's draft. Also want to spend at least a moment taking a look at Pro Football Focus's Jacksonville Jaguar first 3-round draft board. We'll explain that coming up in a moment as well. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You know, ultimately, I've become one who does believe that you make that trade for Jared Goff. Clearly, they know the guy. I mean, he concedes there's a leader in the clubhouse. He concedes, yes, it's going to be a quarterback. You know, they maintain they'll continue to do their due diligence on both kids, as they should. You never know if something late happens that affects the process. But I'm going to side with what a lot of the GMs are telling me, which is that, you know, being looked at in the NFL as Goff is the first pick.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's Jason Lockenfour from CBS Sports a few minutes ago saying he agrees with the growing consensus that Jared Goff will be that first selection in the upcoming NFL draft. Thought it was interesting. He said DeForest Buckner, he knows for a fact, is the highest rated non-quarterback or defensive player at least.
Defensive player,
he
yes.
He didn't say non-quarterback because Tunsil could be a consideration. They could swap or trade Joe Thomas to someone. He's got 3 years left on his deal. You could trade him to a contender depending on what you get back if you feel that it's worth your while to make that upgrade. Today, we'll get to the question day here momentarily, Tony. Got a few things I want to do. I want to look at this PFF draft board for the Jaguars, and we'll get more in depth with this maybe tomorrow if we have some time when Ryan O'Halloran comes in. I know he loves Pro Football Focus, doesn't he? O'Halloran does. But I want to do that, and also want to tell people to be on the lookout for, I'll post this tomorrow on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and I'll pin it to the top. We'll do a draft contest. As it stands right now, the Jags have 8 picks. So we'll say you can name 8 players that the Jags may or may not draft. Okay, you can nominate 8. And what you're trying to do is get as many picks correct. I think last year might have only been 3,
mm-hmm.
right? I think Rashad Green ended up being one. So in the winner's selection, they had, Fowler, I don't know who else, and they had Rashad Green on. They might have had, I'm losing my mind. I don't know who the other one was. Doesn't matter. But you name 8 players. You can say, hey, I'll name Ramsey, Bosa, and Jack if I want to try to assure myself of getting one. Whatever your strategy is, you get to name 8 players. And if you get the most correct, the tiebreaker will be whoever submits the earliest entry with the most correct. We'll put together a little prize pack, and it will start with the containment survival guide. I'll throw mine in there. Containment debuts tonight at 9 o'clock on CW17, and they've got a handy dandy survival guide. So Tony will be prepared for the outbreak. I will no longer be prepared for the outbreak.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to borrow some waterproof matches from you, buddy. How about a lighter? Just a lighter.
Nah.
Might be more effective. How about a lighter in a Ziploc baggie? Right? Wouldn't that be a more effective use?
It might be, but it's old school to break out the matches.
It is old school. I want to live. I don't want to be rustic. Pro Football Focus, Tony. They rank their own players. By the way, they have Joey Bosa, the number one player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their top 5 players, regardless of position: Bosa, Ramsey, Jack, Tunsil. I'm sorry, no. I'm reading this wrong. Bosa,
Buckner,
Ramsey, Goff, and Tunsil,
yes,
in that order. That's not the way they're ranking for the Jags. They then adjust based on team needs and things like that. For the Jags, when their first-round pick comes up, they said their wish list, their top 3 wish list would be, in their opinion, Bosa number 1, Ramsey number 2, Miles Jack number 3. You can debate that all you want. I'm just telling you what Pro Football Focus feels it would be. They've got Emmanuel Ogba topping the Jags wish list with the 38th overall pick. Ogba, I'm looking for him in their overall rankings. Tony, you see where he ranked? Here he is. They've got him ranked as the 37th best player. They said he would be 20th overall on the Jags board. And therefore, with the 38th pick, if you get the 20th best player on your personal board, that'd be a great coup. So Ogba, the defensive end out of Oklahoma State, followed by Austin Johnson, the Penn State defensive lineman, and Carl Nassib, a Penn State defensive end as well, on board there, would be all targets in the second round. Devontae Harris, cornerback out of Texas A&M. Xavien Howard, a cornerback out of Baylor. And Christian Westerman, a guard out of Arizona State, would all rank for the Jags at the top of their board in round 3. Among the guys likely to be there, certainly if Bosa's there in round 2, he'd still be number 1, but he's not going to be there in round 2. So it's interesting. I think it's also interesting that they put, here's the top 10 players on the Jags board, according to them. Bosa, or how they would see it. They don't know this for a fact. They'd say Bosa would be number 1, Jalen Ramsey 2, Miles Jack 3, Tunsil 4. So if all those defensive players are gone, he would be the highest rated player. Goff 5. And that may or may not be true. It doesn't matter. He's going to be gone.
I guess you still rate the guy even if there's
you'd
no chance.
You'd rank him, right, as your 5th overall guy. Buckner 6, Shaq Lawson at 7. Sheldon Rankins out of Louisville, the defensive lineman, is 8th. Cody Whitehair out of Kansas State, 9th. He's considered to be the top guard in the draft, basically. And he is ranked 17th overall by PFF, but they say the Jags would have him ranked higher. And then William Jackson, the 3rd, the cornerback out of Houston, is the 2nd highest-ranked corner. They consider Ramsey a cornerback for purposes of this, and that he would be 10th on the Jags board as their 15th overall prospect. Followed by the likes of Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Floyd, Chris Jones, and on it goes. Jalen Smith, they have ranked 25th. They say that he would be 14th on the Jags board. Maybe in a world where he wasn't hurt. I can't see how that anywhere close to being possible. How can Jalen Smith possibly go in the first round or anywhere close to it right now with all the information out about him? Doesn't seem likely, right? Give me a quick couple of examples of feedback that we got today, because we don't have a whole lot of time to get into. 3 players that you'd like to see end up on the Jags realistically.
Yep, from Irish Jag, Miles Jack, Noah Spence, Ryan Kelly. From Jags and Goats, Miles Jack, Ryan Kelly, Sheldon Day. Speed up, then beef up, Duval Doom, Kelvin Taylor, because Fred. I imagine that would be 6th, 7th round, if at all, in the draft. Noah Spence, because he's a badass, and Ramsey slash Jack from Daniel. Going with round 2 through 4, Mackenzie Alexander, Kentrell Brothers, and Jonathan Williams. from Staff Prime, Miles Jack, Noah Spence, Kelvin Taylor, or a center. From Jarrell, Miles Jack, Noah Spence, Mackenzie Alexander. Improvement on all three levels. I just can't see Alexander lasting to the third round. On day two from Franks, he says Cody Whitehair, that we just talked about, yep. the guard. And on day three, DJ Reader, defensive tackle out of Clemson, and Daniel Lasco, running back out of Cal. From Corey, Joey Bosa, Sua Cravens, and Jalen Smith. From Lauren, Jalen Ramsey, Robert Kendici, and Alex McAllister. She had to throw at least one Gator in there to offset the Florida State Seminoles she had there at the top, I guess. From Chad, Bosa, Buckner, Jack, Ryan Kelly, John Bullard, Jalen Smith, Kelvin Taylor. And let's get one more in here from T-Pac. We got Jack, Calhoun, and Cravens.
A hacker, by the way, hopes they signed Billy Lasco, former Gator fullback. So that's what he's hoping comes off. Sua Cravens getting a lot of love on Facebook. The linebacker out of Southern Cal is being a beyond-the-first-round target for the Jags. Still a lot of Noah Spence love there, a lot of Miles Jack love, and on it goes. Look tomorrow, and we'll go into all the details tomorrow on how you can enter the contest. It'll be simple. It'll be on the Facebook page only, and you can give us eight players. If you don't do Facebook, you can opt not to do the contest, or you can sign up for Facebook. It's not really up to you. It's more for fun and bragging rights than anything else, but we'll throw a few cool prizes in there as well. And you're going to predict eight players you think the Jags could be interested in, and if they draft the whoever puts forth the most players that actually get drafted by the Jags, we'll have a nice little prize pack for you to do that way. Thanks to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports for joining us today. That'll do it for us today. One day closer to the long wait being over and the NFL draft being upon us next week. Media mock draft a week from today, so
you know, Mike,
be ready for that. Yes.
I'm a little saddened because we've reached the point in the program where we play the final drop to end the show.
Oh, it's the last.
It's our guy Sergio.
We're
going
to retire
time.
Him today. I wanted to note before we get out of here as well, in case it went unnoticed by a lot of you, last night free agent Khalif Barnes arrested on suspicion of drunk driving in the Alameda County area in California. Can't wait to see the backseat video coming out of that one. Wonder if they're all KKK devils out there on the West Coast as well. Khalif, way to keep up the good work out there in Oakland. All right. Sergio Brown, we hardly knew you. Let's give one last salute as we're on our way out the door. For Tony Smith, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off for Jaguars today. XL Primetime is next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!
You guys have a good day. Peace.